B-Pod Studios.
Carson, a better quarterback.
All right, coming up in a little bit, we're going to hear just how tightly knit this team is, especially with a guy like Lane Johnson putting out some news regarding Alshon Jeffery and what he's been trying to play through for quite some time now. And then we're also going to hear from Jason Kelce and also Lane Johnson when talking about the crowd noise at the Superdome in New Orleans, how it affected their style of play and what they wanted to do on the football field. We debated it a little bit earlier in the show. We'll also hear from Nick Foles as he more or less said a goodbye during his press conference last night. And then we'll also play for you again Seth Joyner's take on Jim Schwartz and how much of the blame should fall on the defensive coordinator of the Eagles' shoulders here on 97.5 The Fanatic, WP and Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. And now it is time for our big green giveaway of the day.
97.5 The Fanatic. Big green giveaway.
This hour's keyword is green, as in the color green. Enter the keyword green on the Fanatic app or 97.5thefanatic.com by 8:15 this morning, and we'll call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters the contest will be qualified for the $10,000 grand prize at the end of the contest next month. Complete rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. Once again, enter the keyword green on the Fanatic app or 97.5thefanatic.com by 8:15 this morning. Brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com, the Delaware Valley's fastest growing Jeep dealer. Good luck. Talking all things Eagles here after their loss to the Saints last night in New Orleans. A lot of fans letting it kind of settle in and still have that comfort in that Super Bowl victory last year.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
It is a lot of different emotions. 610-632-0975. And as we opened up the show at 6 o'clock, it was a feeling of angry first and foremost for me. And then it kind of, I got soft for a little bit. And then I got angry again.
Good.
Because, I mean, here's the bottom line. They had this game, as we pointed out a second ago, Trey. The Saints offense, it wasn't doing anything. You force a turnover on the first play of the game. Cravon LeBlanc steps up, the chosen one himself, picks off Drew Brees. You deferred to open the game. And then you're going to get the first possession essentially in the first quarter, and then the first possession in the third quarter thanks to that interception on the first play of the game by the Saints. The offense came out swinging, 14 points in the first 15, the first five, or by the 5:14 mark in the first quarter, you have put up 14 points. Third and eight. Eagles on defense at this point. Third and eight, 48 seconds left in the first half. First quarter. Brandon Graham gets the strip sack of Drew Brees. The ball is in his hands, drops through, and it's like the wind itself slips through his fingers. A metaphor for you, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
And right there from that point, if there was one do-over for me in this game, it would have been that play where Brandon Graham just falls on the football and that's that. If there was one do-over, it would have been that. Because after that, oh man, then everything started hitting the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Graham can't corral it. Then they ended up getting the ball back. Thank God the Eagles did. Nick Foles, the interception. Fletcher Cox gets injured on a fake punt up the middle for the Saints. They end up scoring a touchdown. They're first of the game. Russell Douglas gets hurt. This Josh Hawkins guy comes in. It all started falling apart right there. That's when they couldn't do anything right. You had 14 points, 151 yards in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
0 points, 99 yards in the final three quarters of the game. That was the moment that everything hit the fan. And also Fletcher Cox, like I mentioned, getting hurt. Brandon Brooks had already torn his Achilles. His injury is going to bleed in the next year, unfortunately. It was all downhill after Brandon Graham did not fall on that fumble. All downhill after that. So I was angry. And then I see the guys coming off the field. And I see guys like Chris Long. And I see guys like Darren Sproles, and I see Brandon Graham that have an ultimate bro session with Derek Gunn of NBC Sports Philadelphia. You see Chris Long, and then the headliner, Nick Foles. These guys might not be back next year. The band could be breaking up. And that's where I started to really feel it hit me in the feels, Bob. I went from angry to, damn, I really love this team. I really, really love this team.
I would have loved them more if they pulled off the win yesterday.
That would have been nice. That would have been nice. And then I heard the Drew Brees cut of him laughing at that 11-minute and 30-second drive.
That was like a Kawhi Leonard-ish laugh.
It was. Maybe
kind of.
Jamie, you think we could splice that together? Maybe Drew Brees? And, It was like that. It was very similar.
Yeah, I can work on that.
Thank you. But you're looking at it like that, and you're thinking, oh, now I'm angry again. And I don't want to be angry. I want to be comforted in a loss.
Right.
But it's easier to be angry. But talking to so many other people, they just feel like they could be content because they won the Super Bowl last year, Trey.
Yeah, that's the way it feels.
I hate that. I'll never get used to that. As much as I'd like to, I can't get used to that.
I want a dynasty.
Okay, I'll sign up for that.
I want to be able to look at, you know, the way whatever Bill Belichick is out there doing.
Eight straight AFC championship games.
Eight straight.
That's ridiculous.
They're just bored at this point.
And you're like, well, who's on the team besides Brady?
Doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, I mean, he just makes it work. Bill Belichick is
the McCourty brothers?
But Julian Edelman? Work.
Yeah, Julian Edelman, Gronk, and then they just like, all right, let's
Sony
go with
Michelle
some
is running amok.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Yeah.
All over the place. Gronk, his production hasn't been phenomenal.
No. But they still get it done.
I want that
type of production with this team. And this team has the talent to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but hey.
They're just not getting it done. Now, one of the reasons they didn't get it done yesterday, and we went around the horn, and I look at that one do-over with Brandon Graham, and I think that changes everything in the game, because then you get the ball back on the Saints' 40-yard line, essentially, if not less than that, and you have an opportunity to go up 21-0. In the first quarter, if not early in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons that the Eagles started to struggle down the line, and I'm not saying this is the main reason, but I think this is one of the reasons. One of the reasons the Eagles struggled as the game went on was the crowd noise started to play more and more of a factor. And Trey, you talked about it earlier. The offense at some point looked frazzled.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Foles in the Oakland game last year here in Philadelphia, he looked frazzled in that game. Again, he looked frazzled. It was the first time in a long time we've seen Nick Foles look like he didn't have control of the situation. It actually looked like he couldn't compartmentalize what he had been, which is shrinking those big moments. It didn't happen for him yesterday. So yesterday, Jason Kelce, well, he's talking to people after the game about whether or not the crowd noise was a factor for this team. And here's Jason Kelce kind of letting you on the field with the rest of the team as to that crowd noise and how it affected them.
How much was the noise a factor for you guys in terms of continuity and rhythm?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a factor. But I thought that for the most part we were on the same page. I didn't, you know, there's a couple of things here and there, but, you know, we definitely put a better, you know, foot forward than the last time we were down here, especially defensively, obviously. You know, just, you know, we got into a rhythm early and, you know, you have to go back, watch the tape and, you know, figure out, you know, what stalled out the running game, you know, what kind of stalled out the offense. You know, that was very frustrating, to say the least. You know, we were, you know, in a really, really good position early on in that game, and that's all you can ask for as an away team.
All right, now Lane Johnson also talked to Derek Gunn after the game, and Lane said that when it came to this offense trying to find a rhythm with that noise, it proved to be difficult.
Yeah, you know, time clock and then getting in the huddle, you really can't hear a whole lot, so communication is damper a little bit, and we knew that coming in, and that's why it's so, you know, so tough playing on the road, but at the end of the day, we couldn't get it done, and but still, you know, a lot of guys battled to the very end, a lot of injuries, so, you know, something to be proud of.
Trey, is there any excuse whatsoever for poor communication?
I mean, if you can't, when you're walking up to the line, when you hear the play, you've been running these plays since training camp. So you understand what the play is. You understand what your rules are. The biggest issue when it comes to it is when you get up on the line of scrimmage and things start playing out and you have to hear the communication from the center. Because then now when we walk up to the line of scrimmage and things are starting to break down and you're starting to see the points and me and the guards have to, the tackles and guards have to communicate, that's where you start having a problem with the cadence. Because I mean, well, with the crowd noise, because you need to know, all right, guard, what are we doing on this? What did the center point? Which linebacker is he pointing? Because once he points that, then now all of our protection responsibilities break down. But that's where you and your guard need to have a good relationship and come up with different hand signals or whatever you need to do. When me and Todd would play, when Todd was my guard, we came up with different hand signals depending on whatever the play was. If it was, if we had a man call, you know, we would have hand signals. If it was a duel, if we had to cut, there were hand signals that we came up with so that we could communicate without talking, because sometimes you can't even hear the guard, the guy that's right there next to you. So that's stuff that you just need to work on in practice. That's why they put you in the bubble with all of the crowd noise.
For whatever reason, they could not find a rhythm in this game. After the first two possessions, that was it.
And still, I mean, you came out there and still pitched a shutout as far as sacks.
Right.
And only gave up four quarterback hits.
And the fact that you had Wisniewski in there, as you pointed out earlier, Trey, playing next to Lane Johnson, which is probably something they haven't practiced.
I'm pretty sure that's something. I would like to ask, you know what, how many reps has Wiz taken with Lane at right guard?
No. I would assume that number would be a zero.
Zero.
Tom and Glenn Mills, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
Yo, fellas. Good morning.
Morning.
Mark, what did you do to Bob Cooney? Dude, he used to be this nice guy when he first came to state.
pisses me off, Tom. Tom, please pronounce his name correctly.
Bob.
Bob. I think that's what did it. I think that's what would really put him over the edge.
I'm still nice, Tom. I just don't like the softness.
Tom, what do you got on this loss, buddy?
That pass baller was rough, dude. That was a little too nice. But, here's the thing, that one hurt last night because they should have won that game. That's why it hurt for me. I mean, I would have been less devastated if they would have lost against the Bears because of the way they played that game. For me, I think you're crazy if you're blaming the defense on this game, because just look at we got lucky. We got this comparison, the best defense last week to the best offense this week. We didn't even put up as many points against the Saints as we did against the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason. The offense lost us that game. We had the momentum. Nick Foles threw that interception, and it's like they never recovered from it after that. They went, you can't go three quarters with no scoring and beat the Saints. It's just not going to happen. And listen, the defense kept them to 20, but if the offense was on the field a little bit longer, who knows? They might not even got to 20. Mm-hmm. I called Jamie's show, I forget when it was, Friday or Saturday night. I even said it to him. I go, if we keep them under 20, and there's no reason we shouldn't score at least double the amount of points we scored against the best defense in the NFL, right? That's a pretty reasonable thing to think.
Uh-huh.
They didn't do it.
No, Tom, that's what killed everybody. Everybody's take on this game is that if you would have told me before this game that, you're only going to allow 20 points by the Saints, mm-hmm. I'm betting the farm. I'm betting the house. I'm betting the entire city of Philadelphia that they're going to go out there and they're going to win that game. And they only score 14 points. That's actually disgraceful.
And if you also would have said Nick Foles is going to go 18 for 31 for 201 yards and two picks, you would have said they're going to get blown out.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Seriously.
That's true.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Sam, how are the people feeling?
Today we asked which best describes your emotions. We have just under 2,200 votes so far. 70% say proud and 30% say angry.
Really? Yes. Now, we got someone on the line named Hirsch right here in Philadelphia that says they don't like that fan softness. And we'll talk to them coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome into the show that hates the Saints, the Eagles' new number one rival. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on the updates. Coming up in this segment, Lane Johnson didn't just talk about the crowd noise at the Superdome yesterday, Trey. He also talked about some medical issues regarding one of his own teammates. Yeah. And it's a guy that people were already feeling really bad for. I can't think of too many people that would, I mean, I hate to say lose the game, but have a decisive play at the end of a game where they didn't come through.
and they get a pat on the back. They get a hug. They get a "we got your back" type of situation, like Philadelphia had yesterday with Alshon Jeffrey. And again, going around talking to fans last night, everybody said they love Alshon Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. Not his fault. We got him, and that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this Philadelphia. It's a very different Philadelphia, but we'll let you hear from Lane Johnson coming up in a few. Hirsch in Philly, I don't think he likes this version of Philadelphia. What's going on, Hirsch?
I don't get it. I don't understand what all the softness is and all the... The offense couldn't stay on the field. The defense couldn't get off the field. We scored 14 points in the first 10 minutes, didn't visit the end zone again. Where is all this softness coming from?
The softness is coming from people being content with the Super Bowl.
Right, I get that. And I also get the softness with Alshon. 99% of the time, he catches that ball. He's the only one I get a break to.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, I'm sorry. The fact that the offense just couldn't get anything done after 14 points in 10 minutes. It's disgusting, guys. I'm sick to my stomach.
I'm with you. And I felt bad for a moment because a lot of the guys that I really like on this team are not going to be here again next year. Most likely not going to be here next year. But then I thought this was a game they had. They had it in their back pocket. They had a 14-point lead. They made plays when they needed to make them in the first 10 minutes of the game, and then that was it. And it wasn't like Drew Brees just came marching back with 40 points. It was a slow bleed leading into halftime and then shortly thereafter.
And yet.
It was terrible.
And yet, they had a chance.
And yet they had a chance.
And yet they had a chance. I mean, that's another thing that people are hanging their hats on.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the Super Bowl from last year, but the fact that they won 6 of 7 that year. The fact that yesterday, although while kind of getting outplayed there, especially after the first quarter, having a chance, getting the ball back at their own 40-yard line with 2.5 to go, driving down, looking like, going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alshon Jeffrey misses the ball and they lose. But everybody's like, okay. They won a Super Bowl last year. They played hard at the end of the season. Alshon's a great guy. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm not saying this is a joke. I'm saying this real. Have we lost our venom as a fan base? 610-632-0975. Not a joke.
I feel changed.
The only thing that's changed in me is the expectation. Like, I never looked at it as...
What, it's higher?
The expectation's higher,
well,
but...
Well, then your disappointment should be louder.
No. What I mean is, like, towards the end of the season, I didn't have that fatalist mentality. Like, remember going into week 17, there was that fatalist mentality, Trey, mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. people looking at it going, oh, well, watch what's going to happen. The Vikings are going to lose to the Bears, and we're going to lose to the Redskins. Like, it'll be on the table to make the playoffs, and we would have choked. I don't have that fatalist mentality anymore. I expect to win. I still want this team to win just as much. The fact that I like a lot of the players and just love a lot of their attitudes doesn't comfort me at all in this win or in this loss. I'm still upset. I'm still angry. They should have won this game. I don't find any comfort in the idea that they won the Super Bowl last year. And I still think a lot of people just go, oh, well, you know, we're still the champs for 3 more weeks.
Like, yeah, I'm more in that camp.
Then what the hell's wrong with you?
Because it was something I didn't think we were ever going to see. And we got it.
Well, with that attitude, you're not going to see it again either.
Well, my attitude doesn't affect the play on the field.
You know, how do you know?
Yeah.
We did a whole show last week on superstition.
But, like, for real, I thought I was going to go a whole life with never seeing a Lombardi down Broad Street. See, I saw it. Part of me has changed.
When the Phillies won, I knew it was possible. Like, I knew all you had to do was win. And I know that's so simple. It's the most simple way you can look at it. But no matter what we do as fans, how angry we get, how upset we get, what superstition we perform, what routine, what thing we do to unjinx the team, whatever, lucky shirts, whatever. It doesn't matter. All they have to do is win.
Yeah, and that was a winnable game. And normally I'd be way more angry and devastated. But I went, you know what? We won last year.
Yeah.
It helps.
It's a total. We have lost our venom. That's what it feels like. Trey, do you get that vibe?
I think that the fans are still, they can be aggressive now, but I think that the win has kind of, you know, helped massage it a little bit where you've won the Super Bowl, but you know, you mess around and have another year like this. I think it comes right back, you know, but it was just a tough loss, man. I mean, just when you look at the defense, I mean, the secondary was just depleted. I mean, they were just beat down. And then for this team to continue to battle and battle through all of these injuries and get to this point and you lose a game, it's tough. But you expect for them to be able to do it because they did it last year.
Speaking of battling, so here's Lane Johnson after the game. Now, we know what happened. Alshon Jeffrey let the game-clinching interception for the Saints slip right through his fingers when he had an opportunity to keep a drive going, and it didn't happen. So here is Lane Johnson after the game trying to have his teammates back when it came to Alshon battling through his own injury.
That's the way it is, man. I feel like this guy has played through a lot of pain. Rib injury. Mm-hmm. He has some broken ribs. So this guy's laid on the line plenty of times. So there is no, shadow on him at all. I know he feels terrible about it, but hey, it's not one man. We have plenty of chances to win this game, and it's not a one player.
Just like that. The guy's got a rib. Broken ribs. He's trying to play through, and his teammate Lane Johnson is like, oh, yeah, by the way, the guy's got broken ribs, and he's trying to, still help our team win. And by the way, up until that one play, had a pretty damn good game. Yeah. Nick Foles didn't give him enough of an opportunity on a couple of those jump ball situations that normally Alshon Jeffrey comes down with, but Foles underthrew him a couple of times, so he didn't have as great an impact on this game as he should have. But the guy's trying to play through broken ribs?
When did he break his ribs?
He was on the injury report this week as ribs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I knew. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever said anything.
Hmm.
And here's a funny thing. How about if betting people knew he had broken ribs? The over-under for his receiving yards yesterday in a prop bet was 64.5. Alshon Jeffrey had 63.
Wow.
Now, somebody knows he has broken ribs.
Would have put people over.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't feel bad in the least for those people.
Those betters, them.
I'm more concerned about just the fans. I'm more concerned about the children that aren't betting on games. They're just betting on these games with their hearts and emotions. And they got robbed last night.
I have a problem with everybody just talking injuries. Just openly.
Okay, so that's two things then. That's the crowd noise and that's injuries.
Yeah. It was always said, in the locker room, you don't ever speak on your injury, and you damn sure don't speak about anybody else's injuries. I don't know.
A little odd.
Though it's the end of the season?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's just something that you don't speak. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's a HIPAA loss. Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of coaches, a lot of teams, front offices, they'll always hide behind those laws because they can't reveal a player's medical history without the player actually either giving consent or giving it to them themselves. I remember that was a whole thing with Andrew Bynum and Adam Aaron. Bob, I don't need to tell you. Remember Adam Aaron?
Yeah. Hold on, let's just pause.
Okay. But in all seriousness, that was a big thing that came up with Andrew Bynum. And Bob, I don't need to tell you that.
Yeah.
Hiding behind those.
I didn't hear anybody talking about Jason Peters' back.
Yeah, right. Another injury in that another game. All of a sudden, Vitae's in the game?
Another game. Yeah, and Fox didn't even mention it.
Jamie and I talked about that this morning. That really ticked me off. He was two series in, and I'm like, can somebody please tell us what's going on
no
here?
No updates when Brandon Graham went out. No updates when Peters went out. It was weird.
Yeah, they never did. I don't think they give. Yeah, they gave an update on when Jason Peters went. They were saying that it's back.
Eventually, but it was like two series later.
Yeah. By the way, that guy that Lane Johnson was talking about battling through injuries, Alshon Jeffrey, this was his attitude after the game.
The play I didn't make, it went through my hands. He put me in catchable ball. I got to make that play. That's on me. I'll take that loss. That's on me. Let all my teammates down. City of Philadelphia. That's on me. I'll take that.
Admirable. I mean, but as far as taking the loss, it's not like he was standing in the end zone and that ball went through his fingers. I mean, a lot still had to go right. I still thoroughly believe, as I said earlier in the program, I still thoroughly believe that if he makes that catch, the Eagles march down the field and they end up winning that game. Like, I don't think the magic was going to run out here. That was a situation where, the drive would have continued, but I don't think it's fair for Alshon Jeffrey to look at himself and go, this one's 100% on me.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
I agree with you there. Mark in Wayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, great show. Well, nice. I'm still angry. I want a dynasty, like Trey said. Doug said it's the new normal. I want the new normal. Anyway, getting back to the game, I blame Doug for the end of that. The offense is out of sync. They rushed that play with 2 minutes and 3 seconds left. Why? They had a timeout, which means you can still use the middle of the field and then call your timeout. And I think it was set up perfectly like last week's game. And they rushed and they blew it. That play to Alshon, I don't blame him at all. The guy's fantastic. Should never have happened. They should have taken a time, let it run down to two, recalibrate, get a couple of plays called, and then move in and score. I think they would have won the game if they did that.
Yeah. Then you, I mean, the one thing that you do risk is letting the crowd have an opportunity to get hyped up again at the 2 minute warning, coming out of that, and then causing even more problems for your offense, which admitted after the game they struggled with it.
Yeah, they did, but the crowd was on them anyway. I mean, you got to deal with it. This way, if you can get set, get yourself organized, you know what you're going to call, you know what counts you want to run on. Silent counts, you just do it. I just thought that screwed the game up at the end. I thought they would have won if they had taken their time. I really do.
It could have. And look, they didn't execute the play. So whatever they did, yeah, it was there, absolutely. But did Alshon himself feel like he was rushed? Because, again, that is a play that he makes all the time.
Right.
And he didn't make it that time.
Was it Foles that felt like he was rushed? Because that was one of the few passes that looked like he put a lot of zip on it.
Oh, so you're saying he didn't have that touch that he normally has.
Yeah, so, I mean, because, when you're throwing, what was that, like a 6-7 yard throw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looked like it had a little zip on it, not like a nice little touch pass that you want the receiver to catch and go. Even though I don't want to make excuses for
No, I understand what you're saying. You're saying, Alshon was expecting more of a changeup, and he got a fastball.
Yeah, he got a fastball.
Yeah, okay. That would make sense to me.
One final thing, guys, moving forward. Pressure is on Howie and Joe Douglas. They got 11 picks. You got to assume the first two picks are going to be good, but they got to make hay in rounds like 3-5, 3-6, because they got to rebuild the lines, and we need help at linebacker and in the secondary.
Yeah, for as good as this team is, there's a lot of, I don't want to say holes, but there's a lot of depth that needs to be added, right?
Yeah, you definitely, there's some depth that needs to be added.
Sure. Well, we did find out the secondary is pretty deep. It took, let's see, 12 weeks, but they found out it was pretty deep. Let's get to Brian in Dallas, who is at the game. Brian, what's going on?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Good to talk to you again, man.
Yeah. Hey, wow, I don't even know where to start, but I'm just going to start with the defense, man. I mean, that's where the game was lost. It's, obviously, you guys, I'm not a big fan of Doug's play calling. That showed up yesterday because where I was sitting from, I was already on the 45-yard line behind the Eagles bench. We kept, when the Saints decided to play man defense, when they decided to go down lockdown, we kept running deep routes, trying to run Ertz under the middle. Everybody was just stopping and turning around. It was we running 15-yard routes, stopping and turning around. Mm. We were trying to get no separation, okay? And I told Bob before, a couple of weeks ago, that's what I mean by Doug being a play caller and not a true offensive coordinator. But more than putting the blame on Doug, I put it on Jim. I mean, guys, we were watching our defensive backs stand off our receivers like 10 yards, like standing literally a yard within the first down marker and backpedaling. It was crazy. I mean, we were screaming like, play up, play up. And Drew just sat back there with four-man rush and picked us apart. And he wasn't even doing that good of a job. I don't know what it was with Schwartz about being afraid to play man. But ultimately, that's what hurt us in the game.
Well, that's what's hurt you all season. I mean, Brian, that's what's hurt you all season.
Yeah. Exactly. It was like, why? It was, what? Look at the Saints defense. They were 29th, which means they obviously don't play man. But their corner likes, look, I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to put pressure on Foles, even if I don't get to him. Just get him off his mark. What was Schwartz's problem doing the same thing with us? We were sitting there just watching this like, it's kind of like watching a train wreck unfold. You're sitting like, and even the fourth one, everybody was jumping on Doug about not taking the penalty in the fourth with the fourth down punt. That didn't hurt us. When if you were sitting there in the stands, right, you saw number 7 line up right behind the center, and it's like, are we the only one seeing this? Not even fake. It was so obvious. And I don't want to hear about the crowd noise, guys, because I understand Lane Johnson and them are frustrated, but the crowd noise did not bother them. It was the route running. That Foles didn't get touched. He literally, he was sitting back there, and you could see everybody running a deep route. I mean, it was like, it wasn't even like a regular post, like deep and coming across the middle. It was like a deep fly route, or they were running deep and just doing a button hook. There was no separation from the receivers at all. That's what was killing us.
Mm-hmm. No, but here's the thing, Brian. Thanks for the call, man. Here's the deal, though. The players admitted after the game that they had an issue with the crowd noise. I just watching the game, they looked like they were not on the same page. To come out of the second, to come out for the second half, and you got to call a timeout on your second play. Like
that was bad.
What more do you need to know?
That was that punched me in the feels. Like, and the first play barely got off. Mm-hmm. The first play, which I believe it was a run to Smallwood, got like 3 yards. That barely got off, and then they couldn't get the second play off out of the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that really ate at me.
Our friend Jess, she actually called on the show. She's the person that met Jimmy Butler in Greece. Remember her?
Oh, yeah.
Jessica just tweeted us saying, we still have our venom. We just directed at the opposing team and their fans as opposed to our own team. Now, look, I'm not saying that people should call up here and be ripping Alshon Jeffrey, as somebody else is saying here. I think this is our friend Mark talking about Alshon Jeffrey. No, we're not ripping Alshon Jeffrey.
No.
We love Alshon Jeffrey.
Absolutely.
Trey's bro-hugging him. Two pats on the back. I'd go three. Personally, that's my own preference. But when it comes to Alshon, no, we all love him. We get it. We understand it. Bob, you made the great point earlier about if it's Nelson Agholor or Wendell Smallwood coughing up the football late in the game, then there's anger. Then there's
venom.
Yeah,
I think so.
But when it comes to a loss like this, you still should have won. Overall, I'm angry that they lost this game. They should have won this game. It doesn't just come down to Alshon Jeffrey. Again, it's not like he was standing with 2 feet in the end zone getting ready to score the touchdown to win the game.
We got a tweet here. I have to read this because it's to me and you, Mark, from Mark at Behaviorist. You two sound like you're close to saying Philly fans are a bunch of snowflakes. Since when does having sympathy mean a fan base is soft? No one's satisfied with the outcome. We are just proud they accomplished what they did with the cards that they were dealt. I'm not bashing the fan base.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is I'm surprised that it's sympathy today, whereas I am used to
anger.
Darn, the season's over. You know,
what
the hell did they do yesterday? How can they get better? So yeah, it does surprise me a little bit being around this fan base as long as I have.
Absolutely, and that's what's a little surprising. Although
winning changes a man
throughout the season. Throughout the season, we've had this conversation. Has the fan base lost a little bit of that venom because of the Super Bowl? And the answer is undoubtedly, to me, yes.
Yeah, I have. I'll admit it.
Exactly. All right.
I don't feel great considering, but it could have been, if this was this loss last year without a title, I'm in the corner sucking my thumb.
That's my point. That's the point of the tweet that I just read.
All right. Well, hey, hopefully it's winning fatigue? I don't know.
But I think next year it'll be full on back.
Yeah, how long does it last?
I think the venom will be back next year.
Right. How long does it last? And look,
it's over.
Some people, I don't think so. will they go into next year with the same type of? Here's how you know it'll be back next year. If Nick Foles is gone,
right?
Carson Wentz starts the season, and he will be most likely. But if Carson Wentz starts out the season, and say the first game he struggles a lot,
oh God, no!
The Pied Piper comes out, and then everyone's just going nuts.
I really find it hard to believe they're going to be able to trade Nick Foles
with that salary.
Well, no, because wherever he goes, he's going to get a big deal. I think he's going to be competing to be a starter.
I'd be shocked if they're able to trade him.
If they sign and trade?
Because any trade partner knows. Why would I trade for him when I could just go sign him?
Because
he can buy himself out of the contract.
It's a mutual option.
Yeah, it's a mutual option.
So I see what you're saying.
See, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they have any hand in a trade scenario.
Well, how's the tampering period work, Trey? How does it work with tampering?
Really? I have absolutely no idea.
Really? Like, no one was trying to court you?
No.
After you smacked the cookie out of Jeffrey Lurie's hand?
No, that didn't happen.
Next thing you know, that didn't happen.
And there was no courting necessary. He was a free man.
Like, look, you're out of here. You're out. No.
What was it? Smack my cookie, will you?
What was it? 20.
That's what she said.
Yeah. What was it? 20. What was your last year with the Eagles? 2010.
It's messed up.
2009. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
2008.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Because it was the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
2008. Trey's NFC Championship game. Smacks a cookie out of Jeffrey Lurie's hand. 2009. He's a Jaguar.
Yeah.
Nick Foles smack Lurie's cookie? 6-1-0.
Now I literally am giving out the numbers because
that's my cookie.
Yeah, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, if you haven't heard Seth Joyner yet on Eagles post-game live, just absolutely taking it to Jim Schwartz. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll play the Eagles Hall of Famer had to say about the current Eagles defensive coordinator. Time of the Fanatic is 8:42.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking all things birds here on this Football Monday, brought to you by Recovery Centers of America. Call today at 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio. 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Univest Bank Financial Solutions for your business. 8 o'clock hour now brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com here on 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, coming up in this segment, we'll let you hear from Seth Joyner. If you haven't heard it yet, his post-game comments, we played it for you earlier in the show, but absolutely went after Jim Schwartz, defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles. Bill in New Haven, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
What we do here, Bill?
Yeah, I wanted to say something to Trey Thomas, man. I remember when we drafted you, man. I was so excited.
Host City
I
was.
You was going to be dynamite, brother.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, listen, man. Eagles lost. I'm not worried about it. I'm proud of them. They played a good game. And even though we lost, I'm okay with it. We got our Super Bowl. I'm 47 years old. 47 years.
Come on, Bill. You satisfied? That's it. You got one and that's it. Oh, that was good effort. I'm proud of you guys. That's where you are, Bill. Come on, buddy. You're better than that.
Well, let me tell you something. I know you guys want to get more Super Bowls, but guess what? They got that one. They play hard, and I'm proud of them. And thank God for Jeffrey Lurie, and thank God for Doug Peterson.
No.
Have a good day, guys.
Bill, please don't hang up. Bill, you there still?
Yeah, I'm still there, brother.
Are you really only 47?
Yes, I'm only 47 years old, man. Man, listen.
You have an experienced voice, my friend.
I used to cry when the Eagles would lose back when...
Back when you were tough.
When I was a little kid. But guess what, man? We got our Super Bowl. Listen, I'm proud of them, man.
All right. You're proud. I'm not kidding. It's not to hang up with you or anything. But
proud is what you are of high school teams. Come on.
I'm not even kidding. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I thought he was going to say he was like 80 years old.
He sounded a little, he's, you know.
He's got a little bit of a humdinger type of voice. You know what I'm saying?
Like that, yeah.
He's kind of got one of them.
Okay.
Trey, did you think he was a little older?
I did.
I think 47. I was like, yeah, sure you are there. Yeah, sure you are.
Sure you are there, son.
Joe Maniac, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Great.
All right, so, I thought you guys called, I forget his name, the little rapper, the little short, dark skin one.
It's a lot of them.
What?
The old one. Yeah, boy.
Oh, Flavor Flav, man.
Yeah, he had a little bit of Flavor Flav going
he
on.
He did have a little Flavor Flav, too.
That's not bad.
He did. Yeah, boy. Yeah, man, right, totally.
So now I got to ream in the nature of the talking point. It always ends with they play good, they didn't score till which name, and then Jeffrey's dropped the ball. I kind of feel like that's almost an apology statement for Foles' play without necessarily saying it, because we keep saying the offense didn't move, this didn't move. It's only one quarterback that's back there, and every time we win, it's always Foles magic. We don't talk about the defensive magic or the magic of the, you know, the rookie corners that made plays. It's always Foles magic, and this time we're not talking about the Foles magic. We're talking about the offense not moving.
Right.
Now, it's Foles missed regular routine throws to his receiver. There was one toward the end of the game where Ertz ran that out, and he had to reach all the way back across his body to catch the ball, and he got maybe a 4 yards. If that ball was thrown right, he would have been able to turn that up and maybe reach for a first down. You know, most except for the first couple throws that throws made, everything else that game was off. And
we've talked about that, but here's the thing, Joe and Trey, the number one person you're looking at when you look at this loss is who?
Foles.
It's Nick Foles. Now listen to this, Joe, and I'll point these numbers out for you, okay? First two numbers, pretty impressive, 76 and 75. Those were the total yards gained on their first two possessions, okay? Their first two drives. After that, their longest drive was 22 yards.
Well, and that only helps what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with you.
He threw a pick. And so I guess on the other part with the nature of the fan base, for me, I'm not okay with the loss. But I will say that winning it makes it a little easier to deal with, only because it's not like like every other team that never won it before. I guess we already got next year. We know that next year could be a Super Bowl because we already did it before. So we have different goals that we have already attained that we know are attainable, that they're tangible, that we have our hands on. So when people are really going back on the, hey, we got a Super Bowl last year, what they really mean is, hey, we know we can go get another one.
Uh-huh.
So we had a bad year. Yeah, it sucks, but it's not like we're just looking up in the sky saying, oh, a Super Bowl is going to come. No, we have one. We know we can get it, and we know what it takes to get it. And we know, I think that we all have the confidence that the guys on this team and, you know, even the new guys that come in, they'll figure it out to get another one because that's just the nature that the coach has brought to this team.
All right. Thank you, man. Didn't mean to cut you off there. But here you go. I'll give it to you again. So 76 and 75, first two possessions for the Eagles. Those were their drives. Then listen to these numbers following those two plus 75-yard drives, right? 18, 14, 12, minus 1. 6, 17, 11, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Holy shnikes.
Well,
like, I knew it was bad. I know it was that bad.
I got another one
for
you.
To put it by the numbers, it's pretty terrible.
Foles, 11 for his first 13 for 145. Finished 7 for 18 for 56.
Okay. So the offense being that terrible does not, unfortunately, take enough focus off of the defense. The defense allowed 20 points to a team that averaged 31 at least per game. The defense allowed 20 points to a team that only scored 20 points or fewer two other times during the entire season. Three, if you want.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.